Welcome to Let's Talk. I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners across the country where the program's broadcast, particularly the local traditional owners, the Jagera, Yagera, Turrbal and Yugrupul peoples, the Yugambeh, Malanjali, Kombamiri, Noonuckle, Quandamooka peoples. I'd also like to acknowledge elders of the First Peoples of the land, and elders of more recent arrivals. Welcome to each and every one of you. And welcome to all our listeners tuned in across the country by the National Indigenous Radio Service and across the world by the World Wide Web. Welcome to you. It's great to have your company. Well, isn't it interesting news today we've been hearing on the mainstream media yesterday and today? The latest member of the royal family, what's her name, Kate or something? One of those boys, Di and Charles's boys, a woman. She's had to be admitted to hospital, poor bugger, because she's got morning sickness. How many millions of women go put up with morning sickness around the world? But anyway, I shouldn't be critical of that. I don't know nothing about morning sickness. I've only seen a fair bit of it in my life with eight daughters. And now a great-granddaughter on the out there with us, joined us in the world 3 months ago. But isn't it interesting that they've made changes to the rule that a woman can be heir to the throne? How's that? They can do anything, eh, this mob? Can't do much about recognising the rights and sovereignty of First Nations people, but they can make the change to that law that allows Kate, or whatever her name is, to be an heir to the throne. Interesting stuff. You'll hear more, I'm sure. And hopefully it may be tomorrow. We've got Karen Durante hosting the program tomorrow with the aunties, as I'm going to be in Melbourne. I'm away tomorrow. So Karen Durante will be hosting the aunties tomorrow. And I would think maybe the aunties might have a comment on that change of the law. My guest today is Jeff Clark, the former ATSIC chair, man from Fram, joining me today to talk about a range of issues on the political front of First Nations people. Jeff, welcome to the program. How are you?
Thanks, Todd. Just interesting in your introduction there, one of the matters I was going to sort of allude to was there is in a few weeks' time, a Southwest Barwon, they call this district, Southwest Koori Justice Bus is coming to town. And they want to talk about birth, deaths, marriages. It's a Rage Act, which is a regional justice mob, consumer affairs, working with children, checks, sheriffs, we're all familiar with that sheriff, Victorian Electoral Commission, Careers at Justice, Dispute Settlements, Centrelink, Victim Supports, Koori Courts, all those types of matters. Now, just seems that maybe Kate needs to turn up the Fram and learn about some of those matters, because that is the issues that we're confronted with. We don't get many reasons to celebrate anything, and as you say, to get our message out there, the royal family only has to have some sort of small incident, or be it an emergency, where they can celebrate something, and the world celebrates, the world reacts. Yet, you know, the reality in our camp is that we're talking about those other end of the scale. And that's the unfortunate situation of where we're at. And I think that's the relevancy of your introduction, if I may interpret that, brother.
Good one. Now, did you say Southwest Barwon, as in the Barwon region, Barwon River?
Yeah, Barwon region, Barwon River, Geelong. So they call it Southwest, Western Victoria, basically.
Okay, all right, okay.
Geelong, yes. Etc.
Now, who's behind that? Who's orchestrated that, and how's it happened?
Well, there's a young Aboriginal fellow, but, you know, this is where we've got, you know, we'll have a busload of black bureaucrats who will turn up and tell us, you know, how we can better those matters. So it's just part of the Victorian justice process.
Okay.
Well, now, you know, you can be critical, Tiger. You know, I say that with sort of tongue in cheek because, you know, here we are talking, you know, we want to talk about the big issues, and hopefully we'll get onto them soon, but, you know, representation, governance, culture, economics, you know, they're the sort of things, whereas, you know, these are some of the matters that are consuming some of the resources. And isn't it a pity? You know, I'm not sure how we view this, but it's a pity that we're in this bus. We need another bus.
There's another bus. You know, that's the point. There is another bus. Yeah.
And that's the Black Parliament concept. That's that sovereignty debate which we want to discuss, you know. Because when you look at things, and, you know, maybe we'll stay in the negative for a little while or reality check for a little moment. You know, I'm on the Land Justice Group in Victoria. And, you know, we come together as a unincorporated group of people who are representing our clans, our tribes, our nations, et cetera, et cetera. And we have what's called an NTSV, and it's familiar to New South Wales, Victoria, Queensland, right across the country, you know, Native Title Services, basically. And we talk about a whole range of issues related to native title, and we're all going through the PBCs, the prescribed body corporates. We're putting in claims. We're all facing that momentous bloody problem of trying to get rights recognised through those processes. And when you look, you know, I just come from a subcommittee, and hence, you know, I was prompted to give your researchers a call. We had a meeting last week, and I think this is atypical of what's happening around the country with blackfellas. And, you know, there are some good elements in it, but, gee, it's hard to find the needle in that haystack, I tell you. Get the evidence of it. May convert to, you know, private property or freehold property for blackfellas.
So, no, that's the saddest name for an act, isn't it? The Tosser Act?
Yeah. I know you're getting tired.
All right. So, mate, look, there's a long... Right?
So there's a long list of these, you know, and you amplify this around the country. That's what blackfellas are doing, sitting around. And, you know, to be positive, you've got to start somewhere, but, geez, you know...
But we've been doing this stuff, Jeff. You've been doing this stuff for a long time.
So I've got to say, I've got to make the announcement, I think they've failed us. They have absolutely failed us. And I think in some regards we failed ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But herein lies the challenge. Herein lies the challenge. Like, we're now talking about, or some thinking, and maybe it's the last grasp of desperation. Maybe it's an essential component of what we do.
Maybe
to
it's...
remind
it's...
ourselves where we come from, what we had, what we're entitled to, and what we can achieve.
Exactly. Maybe it's First Nations people setting their own agenda.
That's right. Same thing. Call it what you like in different places for whatever. But, you know, to provide proper representation for clans at all levels of government, to support all clans on matters of rights, to establish a sovereign embassy, to showcase our cultural heritage, support community programs, etc. We go down to the matter. You know, when you start to dissect, we can't just run around screaming sovereignty. You know, because it's a little bit more complex and requires, once the talk's finished, the hard work begins.
Exactly.
And, you know, I think this sort of reality, isn't it? It's a bit like sort of playing in the knockouts, you know. It's okay having them all out there barracking, but you need them on the field, bros. To win the game, you need them there participating. You
That's
need
right.
them there running. You need them there sort of exchanging the ball. You know, moving the ball down the field towards
exactly.
your head.
That's right.
So, you know, each language group has clans or extended families, clans of collective and individual rights or sovereignty, clans of connection to territory, authority, custom law, traditions, observances, beliefs. But when you look at all these things, and, you know, they're easy to say, and people say, oh, geez, how smart that black fella, you know, he knows all about this stuff. I don't know any more than anybody else in this matter. And what I do know is that, you know, and we've got native title meetings here in the next couple of days. We're putting in a large claim in southwest Victoria. And we're going to be faced with this, you know. We're faced with the representation. Are we a nation or a clan? So we all get around the table. Yeah, we're a nation. We're the Gunditj Mara Nation or the Taparong Nation. Yeah, but I'm the Karay clan. I'm this. I'm equal. I need an equal representation. So how do we determine who was a member of that clan? What is the rules of membership? Is it current or traditional? You know, when we talk this stuff, are we talking this stuff when we used to sit around the campfire or around the corroboree or whatever, when we had our lawmen there, when you had the spear, you know, sharp spear? So when you did get out of line, there was some ramification about that. So, you know, are there any obligations required for membership? So we can all espouse these things, but then when we start to participate, at what level? Where's our obligation to one another? It's a lot of hard work, you know what I mean? Where do we get the money? How do we get mobilised? Is all this stuff we talk historical? You know, how do we enforce clans, laws, rules, obligations to each other? How do you do it to each other? How do you do it to the group? How does this relate to the white laws and the human rights? You know, how do we achieve? What is today the modern day equivalent of this? Because, you know, overlaid on top of all this stuff is the regulation of corporations and associations. And, you know, you've got all these rules about compliance and who can talk. And, you know, we get into these meetings and agendas, and you've got codes of conduct, and you've got all these which is all fine for white fellas. But for black fellas, we've got this thinking, this old system that we're trying to superimpose into this new system. They don't fit.
Well, part of that old system, part of that old system, Jeff, is that decision by consensus. For example, not hands in the air, not bulldozing things through, not majority rules, consensus. That's an example of part of the old system that you're talking about.
That's right. So you know, we get that in there. So you say, well, who is entitled to sit around the table? You know, is it just based on genealogy? Like, you know, my grandfather came from this tribe and they were moved from here and they were there. So all of a sudden there's a claim, say, in Western Victoria, half of Victoria could put their hand up potentially and say, well, I'm from that mob. Mm. Well, they probably were. Mm. But what are the obligations? Are they putting into a future fund? Are they trying to educate a core group of kids? Are they supporting an enterprise program that was... No, this is all controlled by regulation, by corporations. And then when you start to get a little bit political, etc., you've then got bankruptcy rules. You've got, you know, rules of exclusion. So that consensus then... So you've got half of the people in the room are entitled to sit there under white law, all entitled to sit there under black law. It depends who's chairing the meeting. So all these complications, I think, Tig, you know, this big white overlay, we need to sort of work through how do we come to, you know, because we waste so much energy on you know, the bourgeois blacks or the coconuts or, you know, those poor buggers, some of them are sitting out there in public service jobs wondering how can we assist the black movement when, you know, we're termed as a sellouts or whatever. You know, not every black fellow who gets a job in public service is a sellout, let me tell you.
That's right.
And you know, so we have to have some changing in our thinking, our ideology about how it is we organise ourselves. And I'm pretty sure this is going on around the country. Hard to see the progress of it, but, gee, the frustration is so much out there. But, you know, there's some of the things that what we want to do is at least then make the stand, you know, to be and live sovereign, if you like, the vision, you know, to ensure that there's democratic and an inclusive representation. To act and represent clans and community organise, you know, be the black voice again. We've lost that capacity to become the black voice, to raise the quality of life and living standards of clans, community organisations, you know. Then we go on and say, well, where will we do it? We'll do it in Melbourne. And then, you know, what do? We get a little bit more sophisticated, you know. We develop clan networks, committees. You know, maybe we develop committees of inquiry. Legal counsel, media advisors, websites, Facebooks, emails, you know what I mean? Like, maybe we set up our inquiries, you know, we can invite these white fellas to come and sit on them and explain why they're not giving us this or why this ain't happening. Or
maybe we set up our own report cards on government services, government departments,
and hand them out. We need to change the agenda. We need to change the focus and the emphasis. The other, you know, good idea that came out of some of our discussions was that maybe this incorporation, I talked about, you know, how this incorporation is choking us and killing us and the compliance and not so much the complying part of it, but the, you know, the conflicts that arises when an elder walks in a room and he hasn't filled out his membership card and he wants to talk on authority about, you know, whether it's a cultural family matter. He's, you know, some smart fella up the front sort of, you know, says, well, sorry, Unc, but you're not a member. You know what I mean? So the clash of two worlds. We need to sort of become a little bit more focused on how we deal with those sorts of matters. And one of those ways we might do that, Tig, is that, you know, you can be incorporated anywhere in the world these days. Maybe we go in and get incorporated in China.
Maybe the first...
the Chinese would give, you know, this is hypothetical. Yep. Maybe they give some resources to... that incorporation. You know, there's nothing preventing that. We've got to start thinking outside the square, outside
exactly.
the box.
And even questioning, Jeff, even questioning incorporation, do we need to be incorporated? Look where, look at the network up there around Walgett, Bourke, Brewarrina, where Sam Jeffries has been coordinator of Moripaki Regional Assembly, an unincorporated body. 18 yep. to 20 communities, all part of it. They have agreements with local government, state government and federal government without incorporation. The bodies in the communities are incorporated, but the peak body itself is an unincorporated body that is the council, for want of a better word, is the council that has a representation from two representatives from each community sitting on this Moripaki region on the assembly, the regional assembly. I think we need to look at that whole incorporation stuff, Jeff. Largely, we're forced to incorporate because we're expecting government funding. Well, let's not be incorporated like Moripaki Regional Assembly has done. Let's not incorporate, but still sit down and talk with government by the incorporated bodies, where there is dialogue and communication, and where there is that council that can help government achieve their objectives by using the money they've already allocated. We're not asking them for any more money, but there is money needed for the actual operation, for the administration operational side of things, but it's minimal money. But I think we need to be looking. I like the look of that Moripaki Regional Assembly. I think it's great. It's been in operation now. It was set up in the dying stages of ATSIC, and you'd know Sam Jeffries from that area. And I just think the way they've set it up, based on former ATSIC boundaries and stuff, but it's an unincorporated body. That's the emphasis that I'm placing, and we need to question, do we need to be incorporated? Because as soon as we do, we come under white law.
Yeah, well, a very good point, Tig. And, you know, I don't know if you've sort of got a mobile unit there, but maybe a broadcast from one of their meetings would be a good idea.
We did that in February, March this year. We did that, yeah, two days. I spent with them out at Broken Hill or somewhere, early this year. And looking at doing it again next year at their big first meeting of the year.
So, you know, as I said, I started off from the negative, but, you know, and now when we talk about, you know, the parliaments, we'll call it what you like, the assemblies, there are things happening. You know, I know things are happening in Mount Isa as well. Some of the guys there, ATSIC days, they carried on their responsibilities, they kept together, they became economical through buying stuff, using some of the resources they had, and are, you know, a free and independent agent, and are operating quite well from what I understand. And no doubt there are examples all around the country. So there are some lights on the top of the hill, and there are some positive stuff out there, but I think, you know, to be able to talk about this stuff is another thing, and, you know, the progress of having sort of stations like yourself and that Tiger to be able to get out there nationally. I see NITV is coming on the TV in 12.
Free to air, yes, free to air.
Good stuff. And, you know, I'm sure it's evolving, but, you know, the last thing I want to see is all the sort of sorry stuff all the time. And, you know, I think we feel a bit too sorry for ourselves too often. You know, there's a lots of positive things out there. Babies being born every day, more, outside the royal family as well. Black babies, black diamonds are being born every day. And I think, you know, we've got to be able to create a future for them. We can look back in the past and gain some guidance of all that, but the future is in those black babies that are being born today and tomorrow. And how do we, you know, translate this traditional, as you say, customary manner in which we operate, and whether it's through consensus, it's through families meeting, it's maybe just families getting back together. You know, rather than pulling up, and I know it's hard to fight progress, or if you call it that, pulling up for a McDonald's meal, but where's the Sunday roast with blackfellas anymore? You know what I mean?
Yes.
That's who I grew up on the mission. Yeah. Sunday roast would be at somebody different, somebody's place. And the true meaning of that, I think, you know, is lost because we had people sit around, sing, play the guitar. You know, there wasn't much alcohol involved back in those early days. There was just good times. The kids would be playing out, kicking the footy, you know, having a good feed, a full belly, and everyone felt good about themselves.
Yeah.
You know, and that, even that component doesn't take much. Everyone can do that. You know, drop one or two McDonald's meals a day. You know, it's killing you anyway. And get back to the old family roast, you know what I mean? There's some of the, you know, things that I think we talk about and we need to try and sort of put a little bit more energy into, because I think it's becoming too fast. And, you know, even though I'm a supporter of this sort of, you know, mass media sort of way in which people are getting together around the world and sort of changing governments, etc., it's not going to happen here unless we start sitting around and getting that feeling back, that blackness about us, that urge to be able, want to be free in our own country.
We've got to start living it. You said those key words earlier in the discussion and said we've got to start living our sovereignty. And I think that's where it's at. We've got to live that change that we want to see. We've got to be it. There's an old saying about be the change you want to see or something or other. But your key words, we've got to live that. Listen, let's just take a quick break, a short break, a little Christmas message from one of our funny men around the place, and be back. My guest at the moment is Jeff Clark, former chairperson of ATSIC, and still very much involved in advocacy for change and improvement for First Nations people. Now, I've just been handed an article from Tracker magazine, a Melbourne taxi driver's refusal to pick up award-winning First Nations artist Gurumul Yunupingu could only be seen as a result of racism, his manager said. This story happened. His manager is Mark Gross, told ABC Radio Today that he'd hailed a taxi for Gurumul and his girlfriend Bronwyn after a performance at the Palais Theatre in Melbourne. Gurumul's been on tour with Missy Higgins. And Mark Gross went back inside and the taxi driver pulled up and said, nah, locked the car and drove off, refused to take the fare. And people are gobsmacked at this. It's, they have experienced this. Mark Gross, the manager, says they have experienced this in Sydney and in Darwin. It's happened a few times. But it's still out there. Pull up, see a black face, drive off. I see it happening.
I've got to say, though, in relation to that Gurumul's music, I do a bit of work at the Brambuck Cultural Centre where, you know, it's been 21 years now, totally black-owned, etc. It gives a good experience and tells it as it is, you know, the invasion and the massacre sites and tells some of the cultural stories, you know, Bunjil creation stories, etc. And I sit there on the desk and I played Gurumul, you know, and his voice, and a whole heap of people were walking around that room and they didn't know, and they came up to me after, well, that was just that. I had old white women dancing out the door, mate. They were just, they just got to their soul.
Yeah.
And they came up, they're wanting to buy it, you know. I said, we'll go over to the shop there, well, we've got it for sale, but the effect that that man's voice has had on people,
for sure,
I think far outweighs any sort of rejection by some bloody idiot taxi driver. And I think that's the light that we look for, you know what I mean? That internal message from our own brother. That's how I remember this young man, and what a brilliant voice, what a brilliant man. And, you know, those tragedies just make, you know, as Bruce McGuinness would always say, mate, pressure makes diamonds, you know, and there's no doubt it's made him, unfortunate as it is, it's made him a tougher man, and you that resonates in his voice, you know.
It certainly does.
That love and toughness, and, you know, you couldn't get, I don't know the fella, but to my view, you can't sing like that unless you're a beautiful person.
Yep, no, he certainly is, and it's beautiful music. And it is touching people right across the world. His world tours and stuff gets rave reviews. So he's an amazing young man. Jeff, what...
So the sentiments out there, I think, you know, with those stories, I think people are shocked and awe and all the rest of it. But just still, I get back to, and, you know, and I think we can have that emotive stuff, and I think we do that, you know, that emotive stories and that, because our life is tragic. But, you know, you see the people, you know, when people, you know, they ridicule sometimes this Black Parliament sovereignty arguments, et cetera, some of the, you know, some of the other Aboriginal people who may have gained favour out of being friendly to government, and, you know, that's their choice in life. They ridicule that, but the point is, you look around the world, Tiger, and you see in Somalia, and you know, and I don't use that as an example, but you see in the Middle East, you see all around the world. You know, people, it's people power, and unless we can get our people up to some sort of same speed, and I'm not talking about necessarily revolutionaries running around with guns, you know, running around with Facebook's not going to do it either. But you know. We've got to get some emotive element in there. We've got to get organised. We've got to have that commitment. We just can't have the sorry stories either, you know, because there's so much talent and strength underneath. Sometimes we get clouded by the media and by the direction media takes us in, you know. And we could talk for hours on this stuff, but you take what's happening in the Kimberleys, you know. And you take what's happened with mining. I heard you're coming to Melbourne tomorrow. I'm going to a mining meeting in Melbourne. Is that what you're coming down for? With mining industry?
No, I've got another meeting with National...
I don't want to know your business, Buzz, but
yep,
anyway.
That's cool. No, it's not the mining one. It's education and training and stuff. Yeah, policy, it's cool. But you're talking about mining.
I don't know. Yeah.
You're talking about mining and the Kimberley. That is criminal, FMG and Twiggy Forrest is doing to Michael Woodley and his mob, the Yindabangi Corporation up there. That is criminal.
Yeah.
And it has been shown. We've got white experts and former employees and former contractors, former people, people formerly on contracts for FMG in the roles of archaeologists and legal people, have come out in the mainstream media and said it is wrong, it's illegal what they're doing, what they've done, and still we don't see the mainstream media pick it up. And furthermore, what's worse is we don't see any government action being taken. Blokes like Twiggy Forrest are able to run roughshod over our mob and do all the illegal activities under the sun and still continue to do their job. It's just outrageous.
Let me say, a little bit of any particular group, but some groups are taking advantage of the mining boom. They are developing businesses, getting contracts, and this only came about because we put the blue on. Mm. This didn't just happen. Miners are not our friends. Pastoralists are not our friends. It's only when you pressure them that they come to the table and they start to sort of then want to give you some of the crumbs off that table. We've got to get a bigger slice of the action. That's my view, because there's only ship in town at the moment.
That's right. All right, then, mate. Well, look, thanks for joining us today.
Very good.
Yes, yeah. Good. Thanks a lot, and we'll probably talk to you in the new year sometime.
Good on you. Happy New Year and Merry Christmas to you. Anyway,
you have a Merry Christmas.
And all the mob out there.
Good
on you. You know, there might be any snow at you, but it'll be the same feeling, eh?
No worries, mate. You have a Merry Christmas. Yeah, bye then.
Bye, mate.
Thank you. Jeff Clark, former chair of ATSIC, talking to us there, and some good points raised. Now, I've got a young fellow in the studio, Jackson Hill.
Yes.
How are you, Jackson?
Good, thanks.
You good?
Yep.
All right. Now, you're just graduated as a trainee here at AAA Training.
Yes, I have. I was doing the broadcast technology course, and I've also just finished school as well, so that's pretty good. All kind of worked out well now that I'm joining the army.
All right. Let's see if that one works here. That other microphone might work better for you. How's that one?
Is it any better?
That's a lot better. That's a lot better. Good one. How old are you, lad?
I'm 17.
And your high schooling, where'd you complete high school?
Well, I finished Year 12 at Kenmore High this year, and I was coming to AAA training for one day a week doing a school-based training as a doing the broadcast technology course.
What's that involved in? What's involved in that course?
So that's like at the moment I was just doing a whole heap of technology-based things, so like cabling, working with networks, phones, all sorts of that kind of stuff, like fiber, getting sorts of communications going between places. And yeah, it's been a good background knowledge.
And now you've been accepted, you've been wanting to go get into the Army.
Yes, that's right. I've applied for the Army as a telecommunications technician. So, and I have been accepted, and thanks a lot to this course. Like, it helps me get in a lot. It's a lot of background knowledge to what I'd be doing. So, as a Certificate 3, it's a bit of general knowledge, and then I go in with that basic knowledge of, and then I'll be hopefully top of the class.
Hopefully. You'll be head and shoulders above the rep. Yeah. Well, a lot of them anyway. Yeah. Maybe not the rest. Some of them other fellas might be smart fellas too and go in with a Certificate 3 in this or that.
Exactly,
but you're certainly not going to be down in the lower end of the class there, are you?
Yeah, hopefully not.
All right. So what would you like to be doing in the... in this course, what do you, in the Army when you do get there eventually, like will you get there soon, next year or next year?
Yes, I actually leave for Kapuka, which is for my basic training, on the 11th of February, so that's coming up pretty soon.
All right.
Yeah.
So the next time we see you, you'll be in uniform.
Yeah. Probably.
All right. Now that'll be great, mate.
Mm.
But what do you think that holds for you? The course, the work. What would you like to be doing when you get in there? You'll be apprenticeship type thing.
Yes, I firstly do my initial 80 days of basic training down in Kapuka, which is near Wagga Wagga, and then I go off down to Melbourne for 16 months to do my trade as a telecommunications technician.
Mm.
Yeah, so a bit of learning involved there, but then I will probably be deployed. I'm not too sure where for the first year, but yeah, I'm in for 6 years, so it should be good. Exciting career for me. I expect.
It's great to see a young fella like yourself.
Mm.
How did you get to come into this place? Haven't we been seeing you coming in here for a few years?
Yes. Well, it's all my pop, like, working here. He got me. He said there was like this course is going. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah.
Who's your pop?
Uncle Pete, Peter Hill.
Peter Hill, yeah?
Yeah.
And your dad's Pete Jr.
Yeah, that's it.
All right. So he's been on your case a bit to get in here and do something.
Yep. I'm so glad I did. Like, not only like the fact that pay is a good benefit, but I got to make a whole heap of new friends, got to learn a lot more about my history, about where I come from as well, so which is really good and interesting.
Mm.
And, yeah, it's just a great place, great atmosphere here. I love it.
It is fantastic. And there's a lot of other younger ones around you, not just Blackfellow mob, all kind, different mob, eh?
Yeah. What is it? Timmy there. Who else is there? It's John Luke, Chris, good old Chris. And Bo's done a lot of work with us, same with Bob and all the other trainers as well. Really thankful for them. They've been there helping me along the way.
That classroom was a bit of an afterthought to this building because, as you can see, it's down in the dungeon, you know, and stuff. But It works, like the tools, the equipment, it's good. Trainers.
Yeah, down there, like, there's air conditioning down there, so on the hot days it's fine. Do some, like, technical work down there. It's good fun. Mm. It's good. Mm.
One of the exercises that Bo, one of your trainers, has done was get you to work on a crone block business and then have a telephone on the other end of it. And you've got all those cables colour-coded and stuff like that.
Yeah, we've did a whole heap of that.
Explain that for me. What's the purpose of that exercise? What do you got to do?
So that's basically getting a phone system in a building up and running. So each, like, there's a whole heap of pairs that you got to jump to the crone block, and then each pair basically has a phone line that can come off throughout your buildings.
So there's a beginning point and there's an end point. Yes. And the beginning point is your crone block, and there could be thousands of feet of cabling running through a multi-level building.
That's it.
And there's phones up on the top floor.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to see that connection from down in the basement through to the top floor works when you pick that phone up.
Yep, that's it. So that'd be my job, to make sure that it's up and running.
Yeah.
And even in the Army, like, as a tech guy, a communications tech guy, communication is a big thing. So, like, if you're out deployed on overseas or something, like, getting comms back home to Australia is like a big mental thing for all the soldiers. Yeah.
Yes.
Keeps them mentally strong and just keeps them going.
Yeah.
Well, who knows, Jackson? We might see you back in here in 20 years' time with all the experience in the world under your belt.
Yes.
And coming back to be a tech in the station.
Maybe. You never know. Never know.
Who knows, Jackson? Who knows where it'll lead you, mate? Because, like you say, those skills are required to take the place of Bob and Bo.
Yes.
Or the skills to take the place of the likes of Dale, our IT manager.
That's it.
To be looking after transmitters and telecommunications and stuff. It's all part of this industry.
Mm.
So who knows?
Yes.
Well, you better keep it in mind. I'll just plant the seed now, all right?
All right.
I reckon I'll probably be still here in 20 or 30 years too, you know?
Wow.
Well, mate, look, no, it's really good to see this success. Congratulations on your achievements. You've done it. You're the bloke that sat down there and ticked the boxes and written the answers and done the hard yards.
Yeah.
You did that. So congratulations on
Thank
that,
you.
Mate. And good luck with the next stage of your life.
Yes. Should be interesting.
And you stay in touch with us.
I shall.
Good on you, mate.
Might come back for another yarn sometime.
Oh, I think you should. You better. Give us an update.
All right.
All right.
All right then.
Thanks, Jackson. There's young Jackson Hill. And Peter Hill, that's Pop for Jackson. And that's how come we've got him in here. It's that old fella's been on his case. And get in there and learn a skill. And now he's accepted in the Army. 6 years there. Telecommunications officer. How good is that? You should be earning a quid in there too, I reckon. We'll say bye for now. I'm back tomorrow morning with Let's Talk. Make sure you join us.